Turkey's bitterly contested presidential election heads for a runoff. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain in for Leanna Byrne today. Great to have your company with us. Yes, no one candidate has hit that threshold of 50% so far, meaning the incumbent, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and his rival Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu will head for a runoff in just under a fortnight's time. These people were still hopeful their candidate would win as the vote tallying came to an end.
Of course, I'm too excited right now. I'm thinking that something will change. Actually, we are all hopeful.
Erdogan will come back better than before. You see the situation in Turkey. Some people, some countries don't want him to come again. But God will let us do good things for the country.
The economy and sky-high inflation in particular had seemed to be key election issues in the build-up. Was that borne out? Victoria Craig is in the capital, Ankara.
So it was a really tense night, both at CHP, that's the opposition's headquarters, and over at the AK Party headquarters, where President Erdogan eventually gave a speech at the very end of the night, a very impassioned, very bold speech in which he said that he is sure that he'll win in the second round. There was a huge crowd gathered there, which was just down the road from where I was at CHP headquarters, and the mood was decidedly very different. So opposition, I think, really feeling the heat at this point, and the polls show that Erdogan has a clear edge going into this second round.
Looking at the first round of results, still seems an extraordinarily polarized country, which doesn't make the job of cleaning up what is an economy in real trouble at the moment any easier for whoever does prevail in a couple of weeks' time.
No, and I think that's the question that investors around the world will be asking, because in the lead up to the vote on Friday, when we saw the very final poll results come out, sort of gauging public sentiment, it looked like they were leaning more toward the opposition with a very, very, very razor thin margin. And so I think investors were sort of sitting up thinking, okay, we may get more normal economic policy from Turkey. We may see higher interest rates in the next couple of years to combat red hot inflation, which topped out at 85.5% in October last year. But if President Erdogan wins another 5 years in power, it's really not clear what he'll do.
Yeah, because bluntly, Victoria, life's been pretty difficult for most ordinary people right across the country.
It has. And that's one thing that everyone across the country has been telling me as I've been traveling for the last couple of months talking to them. Far and away, the economy is the biggest issue for voters here. It was, you look at any poll and it showed that by far, bigger than religion, bigger than stance on immigration when it comes to refugees from countries including Syria, Russia, and Ukraine, the economy outweighs all of those by far, even the earthquake and the government's response to that. And you see that when you go to the grocery store. I mean, I go, you know, very regularly, and I see fresh produce that's sitting on the shelf that's literally rotting because people can't afford basic necessities. And so inflation is a really big problem. This country imports a lot of what it eats, which means that inflation on top of currency depreciation, which makes imports more expensive, that creates a problem for household finances and families that are just trying to make ends meet.
Yeah, going to be another tense and interesting couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll drop in with you again. Victoria Craig in Ankara, Turkey, thanks so much for your time.
A pleasure, Will. Thank you.
Victoria in the company of a dog there. Another country grappling with crazy inflation is Argentina. Now the central bank is trying to fight back by raising its interest rate to, wait for this, 97%. The BBC's Leonardo Rocha has more.
Inflation in Argentina has risen to more than 100%, one of the highest annual rates in the world. Its currency, the peso, has lost one-third of its value against the dollar so far this year. For ordinary people in Argentina, there's a sense of desperation and déjà vu. At least three times in the past three decades, the country has experienced hyperinflation and the prospect of economic collapse. The current crisis is partially a result of COVID, the war in Ukraine, and a serious drought. But many say Argentina needs to address the underlying causes of its instability, which include corruption, deep-rooted political divisions, and the mismanagement of public finances.
That's the BBC's Leonardo Rocha. Let's check on the numbers now. Yeah, European stocks have opened mostly up today. Paris, the biggest gainer so far, with the CAC 40 up 0.4% there. Bit of companies news to watch today, too. We're expecting the European Union's competition watchdog to give its verdict on Microsoft's planned takeover of the Call of Duty and Candy Crush maker Activision Blizzard. You might remember the UK's regulator blocked that move a few weeks back. For years, China ran a strict one-child policy for families to control its birth rate. That was scrapped in 2015, and now, in response to a first fall in its population in six decades, the country's trialling a raft of measures aimed at encouraging couples to have kids, as the BBC's Kerry Allen explained.
It's going to target 20 cities, and that includes the megacity Guangzhou, which has a population of over 15 million. And very much the project is focused on promoting marriage and having children in these cities, also encouraging parents to share child-rearing responsibilities, and also, as media are saying, curbing high bride prices and outdated customs, because one of the things that China has culturally is often an acceptance that a couple only get married if there's a dowry or a price involved. So it puts a lot of pressure on male partners, for example, to buy a house beforehand or something. And this has been a real struggle for young people, being able to get on the housing ladder or be able to afford marriage in the first place. And that has really deterred some from getting married.
And to try and do that, there's a package of, I guess, what we'd call economic incentives in there as well.
There are, yes. So already there have been a number of cities that have been trying to promote marriage and childbirth by introducing tax incentives, housing subsidies, also sometimes free houses, in order to try and encourage people to get married and have children. Also subsidised education for having more children if couples already have them. There's a real recognition in China that there is a declining birth rate, but very much China sees this as tied into the family unit. So it wants people to be in couples and then have children. A lot of these policies very much focus on that first. So that's why there's a real focus on trying to promote marriage.
And remind people of the concern, why the government is so concerned about the fall in the population, because that too is driven in large part by economics as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there has been a decline in births, the population, but this is very much linked to China's one-child policy, which was in place since the 1980s. It lasted for over three decades. And the consequence of this is that now a huge proportion of China's population is elderly. They're retiring, and that means that there's a shortfall of people to look after them. But also in the labour market in general, there are fewer workers, and that puts a huge strain on young people. It means that they have to look after their elderly relatives. They also have to work longer in the workplace. And a lot of young people feel very frustrated that they are being encouraged to have more children. They really feel, or to have children at all, they very much feel that there's simply no time or money to do that.
A fascinating trend. Our China media analyst, Kerry Allen, thanks so much for breaking that down for us.
Thank you.
And finally, are you facing a long, arduous work flight at all this week? Well, help may be on its way. The UK's aviation regulator is doing research on the safety of flights that would briefly head into space. They say it could cut flight times from London to Sydney in Australia, for example, to just 2 hours. Barely time for a beer or a pretzel there, is there? I've been Will Wayne. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.